You're listening to From the Pulpit by Sahlein. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider becoming our patron by donating at sahlein.org/support.
Tonight, inshallah, we will be discussing the life of Al-Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, the 8th Imam of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. Al-Imam al-Ridha, alayhi as-salam, was born in the year 148 after the Hijrah of Rasulullah. And what's interesting, it's noted that Al-Imam al-Ridha was born 2 weeks after his grandfather died. Who was his grandfather? Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. That same year, 2 weeks before that, the 6th Imam had passed away. The Imam was born in the city of Al-Madina, and he lived under the Imama of his father, Al-Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, for the next 35 years. And towards those last years of Al-Imam Al-Kadhim's life, the Imam, Al-Imam Al-Kadhim, he was imprisoned from dungeon to dungeon. So Al-Imam Al-Ridha alayhi salam found himself alone without his father. So many of the responsibilities of Imama, they had practically transferred to Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam when the Imam was not still the Imam, because Al-Imam al-Kadhim was in prison. Until Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam was 35 years old, he hears that his father has been killed in the dungeons of Harun al-Abbasi. Al-Imam al-Ridha is in the city of Medina, and Al-Imam al-Kadhim is in the city of Baghdad. So Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam now rises to be the 8th Imam of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Now, when the Imam took this responsibility upon him, when he became the Imam, the official Imam, the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, this madhab, it went through perhaps one of the most difficult phases that it had went through so far. Because apparently for the first time, there was internal division between the Shia. Every Imam of Ahlul Bayt, before Al-Imam al-Ridha, when he became the Imam, it was usually clear, this is the Imam, and all the Shias accepted. Yes, after Al-Imam al-Sadiq, some of the brothers of Al-Imam al-Kadhim tried, but they miserably failed. And that's why very easily the Shia, they started following Al-Imam al-Kadhim. With Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, it was a very troubling and difficult stage for the Imam. What happened when Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam became the Imam? A movement began within the Shia household. A movement that started causing division, strife between the Shia. Some of the companions of Al-Imam al-Kadhim, few of them, who were corrupt, they started to claim that Al-Imam al-Kadhim never died in the prisons. Imam al-Kadhim was killed in the dungeon of Harun. They said, this is not true. You think it was made to be seen in that way, but that's not what happened. They claimed exactly what we say happened to Prophet Isa. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. No, you were misled into thinking Jesus was crucified, but he was not crucified. What happened to Jesus? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he took him somewhere to the heavens. They said the same thing about Al-Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam. And these were three prominent companions of Al-Imam Al-Kadhim. The most notable of them, Ali ibn Abi Hamza Al-Bata'ini. Another one, Uthman ibn Isa Al-Rawasi. And the third one, Ziyad ibn Marwan Al-Qandi. These were representatives of the 7th Imam. They were companions of the 7th Imam, and some of them of the 6th Imam as well. But now that Al-Imam Al-Kadhim died, they did not want to believe in the 8th Imam. Why? Because Al-Imam Al-Kadhim is in prison. That gave them a bigger role. And thus, they had huge amounts of money that belonged to the Imam. money that the Shia had given, such as khums and zakat, and any other thing, any other money that it would be given to the Imam of your time. So it was in their hands. Al-Imam al-Ridha comes and he says, Ya Allah, my father was in prison, but now I'm free, so give it to me. So look at what the greed does to them, and it leads them to completely deny Al-Imam al-Ridha, even though they know that Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam is the rightful Imam. So they came up with this false belief, idea, just so they justify not giving up the money to the eighth Imam. They're like, you're not the Imam. In fact, there is no Imam after Al-Kadhim. How? They said Al-Kadhim did not die. He went into Al-Ghaybah, and he is the Mahdi. He is the final Imam. Because remember, to us now, it is very clear, 12 Imams. To the companions of the Ahlul Bayt, it wasn't very clear how many Imams there would be. What they knew is that you have to believe in the Imam of your time. Who comes after that? Don't worry about that, the Imam would say, unless I am dying and you are living under the next Imam. And number two, they knew that the last Imam would be the Mahdi, meaning the one that would rise and rule the world with justice. So they started to spread this fake belief that Imam al-Kadhim went into a state of ghaibah. He did not die. He will come back and he will be the Mahdi. And al-Ridha is not the Imam, just so they can keep all that money. And what made things worse is that they used a particular aspect of Imam al-Ridha's life against him. Al-Imam al-Ridha is 35, he becomes the Imam. They couldn't use his age against him. Remember we said in the previous sessions, Al-Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, there was opposition in the beginning. Why? Because he's 9 years old. How can he be the Imam? Al-Imam al-Hadi, 8 years old. But they proved that age doesn't matter because of their knowledge, through their knowledge. Al-Imam al-Ridha is 35. So why would there be opposition? They use this point against him. Al-Imam al-Ridha is 35, but he has no children. He has no son. So they told Al-Imam al-Ridha, how is it possible that you can be the next Imam and you are sterile? You can't even have children. This is not possible. We are told by the earlier Imams that the Imam cannot have any disabilities, for example. He cannot be sterile. He cannot not have a child. So are you the Mahdi? No, you're not the Mahdi. So that means there's an Imam coming after. You're 35 and you don't have a child. The Imam turns 40 and he doesn't have a child. He turns 45 and no child. And this proved to be a huge test upon the Shia of Ahlul Bayt. That will you believe in the Imam simply because the child is not there? Even though you see the knowledge, you see the signs, Al-Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, numerous traditions, he clearly stated that this will be the next Imam after me. And the Imam would be asked by some of his companions, why don't you have a child? And he would tell them, soon it will happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for the right time. And when the Imam was 45, 46, finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him Al-Imam al-Jawad. And that's why Al-Imam al-Jawad became Imam at such a young age, because Al-Imam Ridha had him at a very late age. So these few companions of Al-Imam al-Kadhim, they started this false belief so that they would vindicate their corruption and greed. But eventually things got serious and this movement turned into a madhab, a school of thought, that only believes in seven imams, just like how you have the Ismailis that believe in the only six imams. They only believed in seven imams, only up to Al-Imam al-Kadhim, and then after Al-Imam al-Kadhim, there is no imam. And they existed for a few decades after Al-Imam al-Kadhim, until slowly they became extinct. That's why we read in many of the traditions, in many of the history books, when we read the biographies of some of the early Shia, that lived during the time of Al-Imam al-Ridha and al-Jawad, it will say in his biography that his madhab was Waqifi Shi'i. Just like right now you have, for example, Zaydis, they are considered by some to be Shia because they believe up to the fourth Imam. Ismailis, they believe up to the sixth Imam. And then there you'll read Al-Waqifi, This person was a waqifi. Waqifi comes from al-waqf, to stop or to stand, because they stopped and they did not believe in any imam after al-imam al-kadhim alayhi salam. And unfortunately, this caused so much problems and chaos within the Shia household. So anyway, until finally they notice that there is no ghaiba, that Imam al-Kadhim is not appearing anytime soon, Imam al-Ridha has a child, he's proving that he is the Imam through his knowledge, they slowly began to die off until there is no waqifis today. So this was one of the greatest challenges of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, that he saw many of his companions, many of his Shia, not the very close ones, the very close and educated ones, they were not touched, they were not swayed. But the general masses, they were confused, because there's all of this misconceptions against Imam al-Ridha, and he doesn't have a son. So Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, maybe the first decade of his imamah, he's imam for 20 years, he had to mainly focus on this, on trying to keep the Shia together as one madhab, or else the Shia madhab would no longer be one unified madhab. Alhamdulillah, he was finally able to do that. That was the biggest issue in Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam's imamah. And then what happened is, towards the end of the life of Al-Imam al-Ridha, you find another huge challenge appear for the imam. First, it was internal from his own people. And then it became external from the government of Bani al-Abbas. The first 18 years of the imam's imamah, so he was 35 until he was 53, he's the imam, he had relative freedom. He was not bothered too much by the authorities. But like we said, his own Shia, they were giving him problems. They were causing that division and that strife. So unfortunately, sometimes we find this a problem that exists today. People that love to divide based on, you know, all Shia, based on culture, based on marji', which marji' you follow. Unfortunately, even the imams of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam, some of them had to face this. They said, this is not about marji', which marji', all of the maraji' are fallible beings, and they all follow one imam. This is the imam of his time, al-imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. And unfortunately, he had to deal with a lot of difficulties and struggle with his own Shia. The more difficult episode of al-imam al-Ridha's life happened in the last 2 years of his life. The last year and a half, 2 years of his life, Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam gets summoned one day to come to the capital, just like his father. And when you get summoned to go to the capital of Bani al-Abbas, it's bad news, because the last time it happened to his father, he ended up in dungeons and he ended up dying. He was killed in the dungeons of Harun. Who's in power now? Harun's son, Al-Ma'mun, he's the Khalifa, he's the king of the Muslim kingdom, Muslim empire. The capital is no longer in Baghdad. Al-Ma'mun moves the capital east all the way to Khurasan, to a city area called Marwa, or the city of Mashhad today. He moves his capital to there, and then he summons Al-Imam Al-Ridha. Just like how they went after Al-Imam Al-Kadhim, took it out from Medina. And when we spoke about Al-Imam Al-Hadi, we said the same thing happened. Al-Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam was taken from Medina by the guards of Al-Mutawakkil, and he was taken to Samarra. So look at how many imams were forcefully taken out from the city of Medina that we said they loved more than anything, into exile, usually to the capital, so that they would be either under supervision or they would be placed in dungeons and jails. So Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, the hadith says he was praying in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the guards of Al-Ma'mun, they come. The Imam is praying and they have a deadline. You have to escort get Al-Imam al-Ridha and leave the city of Medina to bring him to Khurasan. That's a very long trip from Medina to Khurasan. So they couldn't wait on him anymore. What did they do? They broke his salah. They broke his salah. They invalidated his salah while he was in the state of sujood and ruku'. They're like, ya Allah, ba'd enough. We don't have any time. They held the imam and they escorted him out of the masjid of Rasulullah. The hadith says, while the imam was crying and speaking to his grandfather Rasulullah, ya Rasulullah, I don't want to leave. You know I love Medina. You know I love being by you. But you see what they're doing to me. So Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam farewells his family members. And he is taken on that long journey. I'll mention in a couple of minutes an incident that happened in that journey. Because exactly like what we said happened to Imam al-Hadi, al-Mutawakkil made sure that when Imam al-Hadi is taken to Samarra from Medina, he's not taken through Shia cities. Because what happens if a Shia city, all of a sudden the Imam enters that city? They get energized, right? And they could easily start a rebellion. And that's the last thing that the governments want, the rulers wanted. So keep them away from their Shia. Take detours so that you can skip the cities like Al-Kufa, like for example Qom, and some other cities that had a strong Shia population. Make sure you skip them and you take them through longer routes so that they are separated from their Shia. I'll mention what happened in a couple of minutes. So anyway, Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam finally arrives to the city of Marw. Al-Imam al-Hadi, we said, when they took him to the city of Samarra, he was placed in a very terrible place, a run-down shelter for the homeless and for individuals who were drug addicts and worse people in the society that you wouldn't want to be with. And they just threw Al-Imam al-Hadi there and he has no one there. That's why we said one of the Shia, the Imam, visited him. He started to cry. He said, look at how they try to humiliate you. They throw you in this terrible place with all these individuals who are either homeless or God knows what, you know, what they are, what they're doing. And they want to humiliate you by doing this. But all of a sudden, Al-Imam al-Ridha, he notices a different treatment. He received a unique treatment. The Imam receives a royal treatment. They take him and they put him in a palace. The best, most comfortable place. He has servants and guards. What's going on? This isn't what my father experienced when he was taken to Baghdad. And now we would have to fast forward. This is not how Al-Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was greeted in Samarra. So what's going on? There's no prison, there's no persecution, no humiliation. In fact, very good treatment. And then Al-Ma'mun comes to visit him the next day, the Khalifa. He visits Al-Imam al-Ridha, he shows him so much respect. Not only does he show him respect, he tells him, Ya Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, oh my dear cousin, they are from Al-Abbas descendants, and Al-Imam al-Ridha is from the descendants of Abu Talib. Abu Talib and Al-Abbas were brothers, so that makes them cousins. He tells him, my dear cousin, do you know why I brought you from Medina to here? Don't think that I want to hurt you or harm you or bother you. He said, I brought you all the way from Medina to the city of Khurasan because I was looking for someone to be the crown prince of this empire, to be the successor of mine. And I saw that there is no one more entitled than you. Wait a minute, what's going on? Me be the crown prince? No prison, no dungeon? The Imam tells him, this isn't my word, say that again. He tells him, I want you to be the wali al-ahd. This was something huge that even the advisors of al-Ma'mun, they were shocked. Are you serious? This is the dynasty of Bani al-Abbas. You're just going to put a successor from another family, from the children and the descendants of Abu Talib? Are you crazy? What are you doing? But Al-Ma'mun was not crazy. Al-Ma'mun was very shrewd and cunning. Now obviously he was not doing this lillah. He was not doing this because he was having a moment of God consciousness and taqwa, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one in that position usually even thinks about Allah when you reach those positions of power, especially that much power that the khulafa had during the times of the imams. Al-Ma'mun was trying a new method with Ahlul Bayt. He noticed that the policy of his fathers against Ahlul Bayt failed. What was the previous policy? It was a policy of estrangement. It was a policy of hostility. And a policy of completely excommunicating Ahlul Bayt from everything. Putting them on the sidelines. Treating them as enemies. But he noticed that didn't help. The Shia were getting stronger. The Imam was getting more popular. He has more followers across the world. So this policy is not working. They're just becoming more and more powerful. So he's like, let me try a new method, a new plan, a new strategy. And Al-Ma'mun, he is deemed to be the most cunning and shrewd of Bani al-Abbas. Very smart. So he thought the best way for us Bani al-Abbas to get rid of these imams of Ahlul Bayt once and for all is let's invite them to be part of our government. Let's be one team. Now this was a very evil strategy. Why? You might think, well, this is good. You give al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam power. No. Al-Ma'mun is a politician. Why did he do this? They say he had two reasons. Number one, first of all, the Shia of Ahlul Bayt, there's a lot of them across the world. If al-Ridha, the Imam of the Shia, becomes my successor, the Wali al-Ahd, crown prince, that means all these Shia are on my side now. They're all allies now. And this was a constant problem that Bani al-Abbas had. Every couple of months, there's a new rebellion by one of the Shia. If you read history of Bani al-Abbas, every couple of months, there's one of the descendants of Imam Ali alayhi salam who rebels, you know, tries to be like Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And they had to send their troops, and sometimes it would be very bloody, it would take weeks, sometimes it would take months. But in the end, they would be defeated. But it was a constant problem that these Shia of the Ahlul Bayt, the Alawis, they're not happy. So if I bring al-Ridha and I put him on our team, first of all, I will quell all that dissent. Second of all, that will give me legitimacy. But no one will oppose me if the Imam is on my team. And third of all, he saw that this is the best way to take away the sanctity of al-Imam al-Ridha. Why were Ahlul Bayt loved so much, brothers and sisters? Because Ahlul Bayt stayed away from politics. Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam did not want power. Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam could care less about governing. None of the imams went after power. Al-Ma'mun, he wanted to break this halo that the Ahlul Bayt had within their Shia. That al-Ridha, no, he's different than his fathers. He wants power. That's why, look, he came and he entered the government of Bani al-Abbas. So I will receive legitimacy and he will be delegitimized by some of his Shia, especially the extremist Shia, you know, those that are holier than thou. There are some, even today, they try to teach scholars, they try to teach even Maraji', they know more than Maraji', right? There were those Shia during that time. They would come to al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam and they would complain. And this is exactly what happened. This is exactly what happened. Numerous traditions tell us that after al-Imam al-Ridha became the Wali al-Ahd, the crown prince, some of his Shia turned into enemies. Some of his Shia, they came and objected. They came and they opposed. This is the Imam. Allah has chosen him. How can you object to him? How can you oppose what the Imam does? There's a tradition narrated by Rayyan ibn Salt, one of the companions of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. He says, I went and I told him, Yabna Rasulullah, people are talking against you. Your reputation is on the line. The Imam said, what are they saying? They're saying that you pretend to be very holy and humble, Zahid, like Ali ibn Abi Talib. But look, you went and you accepted the position of being the crown prince. So you're fooling us. Why did you do this? Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, he told him, Yabna Salt, don't think that this was my decision. Al-Ma'mun gave me two choices. He told me, Ya Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, you either accept to be the crown prince, and if you don't, because the Imam, when he was offered, he told him, no, thank you. I'm not interested. Al-Ma'mun kept on insisting. Al-Imam al-Ridha kept on saying, no. Until Al-Ma'mun told him, look, I'm not asking you. I'm ordering you. And if you do not accept this request, then I will have you killed just like my father killed your father. So Al-Imam al-Ridha tells his companion, he tells him, he gave me two options. Either you accept or I kill you. So I had no choice but to accept. Now some of you might think, why didn't he just accept? Why didn't he just resist, even if it meant that he's killed? Didn't Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam say on the day of Ashura, Ala wa inna al-da'i ibn al-da'i qad rakaza bayna thnatayn, when he was explaining why he is defying the army of Bani Umayyah, what's his revolution about? He said, because Ibn Ziyad gave me two options. Al-Da'i ibn al-Da'i, because he was from haram marriage, haram birth, Ibn Zina, and his father was Ibn Zina. قَدْ رَكَزَ بَيْنَ اثْنَتَيْنَ بَيْنَ السِّلَّةِ وَالذِّلَّةِ. He gave me two options. Either I fight or ذِلَّة, humiliation. I submit and I pay my allegiance. بَيْعَ to Yazid. And then he said, وَهَيْهَاتْ مَنَّ الذِّلَّةِ. We've memorized these lines. Never will I accept ذِلَّة. Allah will never accept this for us. So if Al-Imam al-Husayn had two options, to fight or resist, to fight and resist, or to pay his allegiance, and he said, never will I give my allegiance. He fought to, why didn't Al-Imam al-Ridha do the same thing? And this is what some of the Shia were telling Al-Imam al-Ridha. You are the grandson of Hussein. How did you accept being in the government of Bani al-Abbas? And this is where the Imam had to teach his Shia the difference between his situation and the situation of Al-Imam al-Hussein. And really quick, because this is not my topic, one main difference, brothers and sisters. Why did Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam fight until he was killed? The reason was because Imam al-Husayn was being forced to give bay'ah. The Imam does not give bay'ah to someone else. Imam al-Husayn is the Imam of his time. He will never give bay'ah, allegiance, to someone else who's claiming to be the Imam. Ibn Ziyad only gave him that option. He didn't tell him, stay home, or fight. Had Ibn Ziyad told him that, he would have said, you know what, I'm going to go stay home. Leave me alone. And that's why on the day of Ashura, he told them a couple of times, let me go. Why are you here to kill me? The Imam was not interested in killing them. It was self-defense. But he made it clear that I have red lines. Bay'ah, I will not give for you. They insisted bay'ah. The Imam said no, but it ended in the Imam being killed. With Al-Imam al-Ridha, no bay'ah was asked from him. Al-Ma'mun didn't tell him, give your allegiance to me. In fact, he told him, I will have people give bay'ah to you. Because the crown prince, he would also receive allegiance just like the Khalifa. Now this is becoming somewhat obsolete now, but you still see it like in Saudi Arabia. When the king becomes the king, he's the new king, people line up to pay their allegiance. And there's even a specific way where he takes his hand out and you, You put your hand on his head. The specific way that Rasulullah taught bay'ah. So Al-Ma'mun tells him that I will take bay'ah as the Khalifa and you take as the crown prince. So there was no humiliation. There was no allegiance that he had to pay to anyone. The Imam, once he was forced, he told him, okay, I'll accept, but under one condition. I will only be a ceremonial crown prince. Not like MBS where he does everything today. I will be the exact opposite. I will not deal in any policy and any governing. Don't ask me to do anything regarding politics. Al-Ma'mun said that's fine. Because that was enough to serve his agendas. So Al-Imam was forced and he accepted. But what Al-Ma'mun did not realize that while he had his agendas, Al-Imam al-Ridha was smarter than him. Al-Imam al-Ridha outsmarted Al-Ma'mun. Because Al-Imam al-Ridha saw, this is the best opportunity for me to spread the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. What could be better? My fathers are in the dungeons. My grandparents, they could not speak a word. They would be taken to prison. Now Al-Ma'mun has made me the crown prince and he's given me complete freedom to do whatever I want and say whatever I want. He has all the money of the state under him. And he has the spotlight on him. And he can use all the media and the power of the government. And this is exactly what Imam al-Ridha did. He used that year and a half to spread the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. And that's why Al-Ma'mun's biggest mistake of his life was to put Imam al-Ridha as the crown prince. Because this man is filled with knowledge. All he wants is to speak. All he wants is a platform. You gave him the best platform. And the Imam did not waste any time. In fact, remember I said the trip of Al-Imam al-Ridha from where? From Medina to Maru. They told those guards, don't take him to any Shia city. So they would rest in certain places. The last place that they went to before they reached Mar was the city of Nisabur, outside of Mashhad, an hour, 2 hours away. Nisabur was a city filled with universities, Islamic universities and students. It was a hub for Islamic knowledge, like a hawza, but non-Shia. Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, he comes by through the city. The people of that city hear that Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha is coming to Nisabur. They were so excited. And they're not even Shia. But they respected the Imam. Because they knew the knowledge that he had. So they came out in the thousands. There's reports that say up to 20,000 scholars and students, all of the seminary there, they came out to greet Al-Imam al-Ridha, and the Imam was in that royal envoy with all the guards of Al-Ma'mun summoned to go to from Medina to Maru, to Khurasan. They came out and they told him, Ya Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, we just have one. The Imam couldn't stop for too long. We just have one request. Tell us a hadith, please. Narrate to us a hadith from your grandfather. This is a very famous hadith. This incident is very famous. The Prophet, the Imam alayhi salam, he stopped for maybe 1 minute only. And he recited, he told them one of the most beautiful narrations. It's called the hadith of a silsila al-dhahabiyya, the hadith that contains the golden chain, because every narrator in this hadith is a ma'soom. Al-Imam al-Ridha told them, I heard my father, al-Kadhim, Musa al-Kadhim, tell me that he heard his father, as-Sadiq, say. As-Sadiq heard his father, al-Baqir, say, from Zain al-Abidin, from Al-Imam al-Husayn, from Amir al-Mu'mineen, from Rasulullah. So this is a hadith from Rasulullah. And look at the beautiful chain. Ma'soom from Ma'soom from Ma'soom. The Prophet narrates Jibra'il. Jibra'il from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A hadith of Allah. It's called a hadith Qudsi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalimatu la ilaha illallah hisni. that La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, Tawheed is my fortress. It's the fortress of Allah. فَمَنْ دَخَلَ حِصْنِي أَمِنَ مِنْ عَذَابِي. And whoever enters the fortress out of Tawheed, then they will be safe from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned this hadith, 20,000 scribes, the hadith says, they had their paper out and their pens, and they wrote the hadith of Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. When the Imam arrived, he became the crown prince. He started to use his power. He started to use his position in what? Spreading his knowledge. That's why the traditions say that twice a week, he would hold a public debate. He would sit in the court, in the palace that he was in. He would invite everyone to come. And he would invite the scholars from across the Muslim world. Come and I will debate you about anything you want. You've seen there is in London that speaker's corner. It's like a debate corner. The palace of Al-Imam al-Ridha for that year and a half became the debate corner. Whoever wants to debate, they would go and debate Al-Imam al-Ridha. Because the Imam proved that he's the most powerful debater. Anyone who would challenge him, the Imam would destroy them. With his knowledge, of course. Not by using fallacies and by, you know, ad hominems and whatever. No, the Imam, the most compelling, powerful arguments from the Quran, from the Hadith, he would use that and he would defeat whoever would come. He started his debates with other Muslims of other madhahib. All he would speak about is Ali ibn Abi Talib, proving the wilayah of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ma'mun was so fascinated that he, of what he was hearing, he would start and come and attend those majalis just to see Al-Imam al-Ridha perform debates against all the other grand scholars of the Muslim country. Eventually, the Imam, he started debating other religions. He started inviting speakers and scholars from Christians, Christian scholars, Jewish scholars, Zoroastrian scholars. Even we have reports that some atheists, they would come and they would debate the Imam. And the Imam was so powerful in his logic. He was so strong in his arguments. And all of those debates are recorded, subhanAllah, because the Imam was not a normal person now. He's the crown prince, so obviously everything is recorded. And a lot of our theology, we Shia of Ahlul Bayt, we take our theology from those debates of Al-Imam al-Ridha. Any topic that you want from the aqa'id, from our belief system, the Imam would have debates, the Imam would bring the proofs, and he would engage in these beautiful dialogues. So Christians, Jews came, and what's beautiful is he would challenge the Christian from the Bible and he would defeat him. He would challenge the Jew and he would use the Torah against him. And every person, whatever book they believed in, the Imam would use that book and he would defeat him. That's why people were so amazed. The Imam began to receive unbelievable recognition in the Muslim country. Everyone started talking about Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha. This is no ordinary man. Anyone who goes to debate him, he shows knowledge that we've never seen like. There's a tradition from one of the companions of Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, where he asks Al-Imam al-Ridha, one of the companions of Al-Imam al-Jawad, the son of Al-Imam al-Ridha. He asks Al-Imam al-Jawad, why was your father named al-Ridha? His name is Ali, but his title is al-Ridha. Why was he named al-Ridha? Al-Imam al-Jawad tells him, لَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِضًا لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ. Ridha means what? Ridha means satisfaction. Al-Imam al-Ridha means the one who either he is satisfied with Allah. We say al-ridha biqadha illah. One of the qualities of a believer is to be satisfied and to accept whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. We say this person has ridha. Radhi biqadha illah wa qadarih. But another meaning of ridha is that Allah is satisfied and accepts him, which is even better. Me accepting Allah is one thing, but imagine if Allah accepts me and is satisfied with me, that's much greater. So Imam al-Jawad tells him he is called al-Rida because Allah accepted him. Allah was satisfied with him. But then he told him, but wait, all the imams, they were al-Rida then. Well, Allah accepted all the imams. Allah was satisfied with all the imams. Why your father, Ali ibn Musa, this name was chosen for him? Al-Imam al-Jawad, he gave him a deeper answer. He told him the reason is because my father was unique. He had something that no other imam had. He had universal recognition. Everyone recognized and accepted Al-Imam al-Rida as being the most knowledgeable person of his time. Whether you were Shia, whether you were Sunni, whether you were Sufi, whatever your madhab was, everyone started recognizing that this man, there's no one more knowledgeable than him. So everyone started to accept al-Rida. There was absolutely no room for any debates when it came to who's the most knowledgeable. While the other imams, because they were sidelined, most people didn't even know them. So he told him, and this is something only my father al-Rida had. And thus you find that after that, the name of al-Imam al-Rida was so powerful that al-Imam al-Jawad many times would be called by people the son of the Rida. Ibn al-Rida, Ibn al-Rida. Even his grandson, al-Imam al-Hadi, would be called Ibn al-Rida. Sometimes you see al-Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, Ibn al-Rida, because he was so well known, not only as crown prince, but he proved his knowledge. So the strategy of al-Ma'mun, it slowly backfired because al-Imam al-Rida alayhi salam started to become so strong, so powerful, meaning in his reputation, and so loved by the people, such that people forgot who the Ma'mun is. The Ma'mun now is feeling insecure. Everyone, all they talk about, al-Rida, al-Rida, al-Rida. And there's a tradition where al-Imam al-Rida tells one of his companions by the name of Nawfali, before one of the final debates that the Imam had, it was an ultimate debate, an all-star debate. It was like 20 scholars of all madhab against the Imam by himself. The Imam told him, al-Ma'mun brought all of them together because he wants to humiliate me. He thinks that I will be defeated, but al-Ma'mun will regret it. He told him, do you know when he'll regret it? When he sees that I have not only memorized the Quran, I have memorized the Injil, the Bible. I have memorized the Torah. I have memorized the Zabur. I have memorized all those divine books. And whoever comes to me, I will defeat him based on their book. And that's exactly what happened. Whoever would come up to Imam al-Rida alayhi salam to debate him, the Imam knew more about his religion than he did. And al-Ma'mun, he was regretful. And that's why in the end he decided to kill al-Imam al-Rida. I read today a hadith where the Ma'mun was so angry at how popular al-Imam al-Rida was becoming and how his strategy was completely failing. Al-Imam al-Rida was just becoming more and more respected, that he sent one day one of his guards to the palace. He told him, go, al-Rida is having his debates and his classes and whatever now, and go and kick everybody out. Humiliate the Imam. And this is exactly what he did. He went, he entered, he saw the Imam was in the state of debate, and he told him, there is an order from the Khalifa, everybody out. He kicked them out and he closed the door on al-Imam al-Rida alayhi salam. Until eventually al-Imam al-Rida alayhi salam was killed. He poisoned him because he can no longer see the Imam glowing in that way while no one cared about him. Subhanallah. A companion of al-Imam al-Rida by the name of Musafir. He says, I was sitting towards the end of the life of al-Imam al-Rida. I was sitting with al-Imam al-Rida. He said, all of a sudden, he said these words to me. He said, Ana wa Harun kahatain. He said, me and Harun are like this. The companion says, I didn't understand. What is he talking about? For Imam al-Rida says, me and Harun are like this. What does that mean? He says, until a few days or a few months later, Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam was killed by Al-Ma'mun. Where did Al-Ma'mun bury him? Whoever has been to Mashhad will probably know this. Or if you don't, well, this is something nice to add to your knowledge next time you go to Mashhad and visit Imam al-Ridha. Al-Imam al-Ridha was buried next to the grave of Harun al-Abbasi, Harun al-Rashid, the father of Al-Ma'mun. He buried Al-Imam al-Ridha next to Harun. And now that's why when you go and visit Al-Imam al-Ridha's shrine, who's also there? Harun. But who cares about Harun? Have you seen anyone go to Mashhad to visit Harun? If they do, probably to go and curse him. No one cares about him. Versus you see millions of people, literally. Whoever has been to Mashhad, you've seen how many people visit that shrine. Because it's so big. It's bigger than all of the other shrines of the imams combined. The size of the place. And every day it's filled. It's unbelievable. So he told him, me and Harun are like this. Yani I will be buried next to Harun. And he's like, only when Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam was buried next to Harun, this is when I realized what the Imam was speaking about. He was buried alone, far from his family in Medina, in the city of Khurasan. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam this beautiful gift that out of all the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, maybe, I don't know, excluding Al-Imam al-Husayn because of Al-Arba'een, Al-Imam al-Ridha receives the most amount of visitors out of all the Imams. I've seen, maybe this is like 10 years ago, certain reports that indicate certain studies, he receives 30 to 40 million Zuwar every single year. And if you go to Mashhad, brothers and sisters, you will see that this is not too much. This is not an exaggeration. Go on a normal day and you will see hundreds of thousands on a normal day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he was gharib, Al-Imam al-Ridha was known to be gharib because all the imams are buried close to each other in Iraq and in Medina. Al-Imam al-Ridha all by himself in Khurasan in a far area. But you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated the name and the status of Al-Imam al-Ridha in this dunya such that millions of people go and visit Al-Imam al-Ridha. And when you visit the shrine of Al-Imam al-Ridha, brothers and sisters, you see wonders over there. The amount of miracles that you see people talking about, people who were sick, people who had certain diseases and sicknesses that all of the doctors had completely lost hope. But they come to Al-Imam al-Ridha, all of a sudden you see someone, a family, a group, they start laughing and cheering and they start crying and kissing the shrine of Al-Imam, individuals who cannot see. If you go and stay there for a couple of days, I guarantee you will witness one of those miracles yourself. And when there is a miracle, there's a famous sound at the haram of Al-Imam al-Ridha, like a ringing bell. They will ring it to indicate that now there is a miracle that has been reported. It's unbelievable when you visit the shrine of Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us the ziyarah of Al-Imam al-Ridha. There's a hadith in which the Imam said, whoever visits me in Tus, in Khurasan, in Mashhad, I am gharib, I'm alone there far from my forefathers, I will make sure to visit them when they die. And when the Imam visits you, the Imam comes with all of his blessings, his shafa'ah. He comes with his intercession. I will visit, and the Imam explicitly mentioned three stages that he will help you even more. For example, one of them was al-mizan. The mizan is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala weighs our a'mal. عند تطاير الكتب. This is on the day of judgment, even after we die. تطاير الكتب is after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us our books, we are collecting our books, and in other stages. So if you have received the honor of visiting Al-Imam al-Ridha, my dear brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your ziyarah. And if you have not, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you the beautiful ziyarah of Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam.